Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. It is Sam and Greg on this Friday morning, 27th day of December. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning.
And a good morning. Happy holidays to you first responders and teachers out in Flowery Branch.
Out in Flowery Branch.
Flowery Branch.
Right there.
Man, I got to tell you, when I hear that music, for a lot of us, it takes you back. I will tell you, that is, when, of course, we played that, you know, when you think of that, you hear the Sweet Georgia Brown, you think of the Harlem Globetrotters, and today was the day that we lost Meadowlark Lemon.
Oh, man.
We drew that on it, through lost Meadowlark in 2015.
You ever seen him in person?
I've never met him, never saw him in person, never got to shake his hand, wasn't at an event that he was ever a part of. But I will say this, the Harlem Globetrotters, when I was introduced to them, showed up on Wide World of Sports.
Okay.
On Saturdays. That was the only thing that could keep me from going out and playing. Knowing that the Harlem Globetrotters were going to be on. There was nothing else. Because you waited for Wide World of Sports to see what was going on there.
Oh, yeah.
And
it was Jim McKay, one-man ESPN.
Yeah. Whatever
he did,
it was.
When ESPN got all that building full of folk up there. He did it just one person. He did it all.
But the one thing, I tell you what, there was one other thing, but it didn't happen that often. You got maybe two Harlem Globetrotter games a year.
That's about it, man. Maybe like
that
one.
That was it. That was it.
No more than two.
But that was the only thing other than one other person, if Evel Knievel was doing something.
Okay.
Then I would stay in. But that was the only thing to keep me from
you
going out.
You
want
to stay in for Ali?
Well, that's... Man, I don't remember when he fought on.
If Ali was on, it was...
It wasn't that much either, to be honest with you. How many fights did they have on Wide World of Sports?
Yeah, quite Ali a few. Fights. And then when leading up to fights, he would come
now,
on.
Now, then I would see. I saw the back and forth with him and Cosell and the interviews with Joe Frazier and all of them.
You got Joe Frazier
and Norton
headlock.
And all. But the fights, I don't remember seeing... Because I'm talking about in the middle of the day, you know, noonish or so. And he didn't know Ali fights then.
Well, Wide World of Sports wasn't on in the middle of the day.
Yeah, Wide World of Sports came on in... What time did it come on?
No, that came
on. I got to go back and look. But
yeah,
anyway.
It came in late in the afternoon, like 4 or 5-ish.
Nah, in Chicago, it seemed like it was on. Of course, we're an hour earlier than you here. Anyway, it was in the afternoon. It was cutting into my bike riding.
Yeah.
You know,
usually
softball, baseball playing.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Terrell Thomas is going to join us in a minute here. I got to apologize to Terrell. He was trying to make it down here. And couldn't make it today, but we're going to hopefully have him next week. And the lovely Selah may be with him.
All right.
So he'll be joining
lovely
us.
Lovely and talented.
Got to tell you about money flying through the air coming up before the end of this hour with a casting call. And something also special happened on Christmas Day that I didn't mention yesterday to you as we talk about one of our regulars on the show was in the delivery room on Christmas Day. So I'm going to tell you about that. That is coming up here. Mr. Crenshaw, we have danced around this talking about not only Michael Vick, but DeSean Jackson has taken on a new job with Delaware State. And just what has been going on under the HBC umbrella over the last month or so has been an interesting watch. It really has been.
Has been an interesting watch, continues to be that. And, you know, just what happens in the last today is something that just adds to it. So, I mean, we're talking about a new coach that's coming in for the MEAC at a conference that needs something. I'll get Eric to jump in there with me when he gets a moment. The Mideastern Athletic Conference needs something right now. You know, they are short. For the last how many years did they lose those four members? Over the last
six or seven
years, yeah. They lost
FAMU.
Lost Florida A&M, Bethune.
North Carolina A&T.
A&T and Hampton.
And Hampton, yeah.
So those are four members that they lost. And for many times we heard that Howard was like, you know, on the brink, teetering whether or not they would stay with the conference.
I think now this injection of life and name recognition you know, will definitely breed some things into the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, because they were, for many, many years, the you know, the echelon of HBCU sports and football and things like that. So happy for them. Happy for them.
Just, is it balanced things off, because the SWAC is in at that one region. When you talk about from Alabama over to Texas, and you come back the other way going up the East, you know, that's Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. But those programs haven't been competitive with those schools over at you know, at the SWAC for many, many years. And then with the Florida A&M program going over and joining in with the SWAC,
yeah,
you know, was big.
That was a big blow, huge blow.
It was, it was. So now this is big for their conference. They're going to get visibility. But as I said earlier, what do you want to see when you tune in? Obviously, these games are going to get TV time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to people are going to make them priority. I mean,
you want to see NFL caliber athletes being recruited to those schools and showcasing their talents.
So then, how does that happen? What's the possibility of them getting a GM of that level to prepare that program to say, this is what we got to do, this is the money we need? We talk about the big boys getting GMs. What about the HBCUs? What do you guys are seeing in that arena?
I don't know, but like I said, for me, the first thing is your facilities. You got to get your facilities right. I mean, as my granddad said, don't put the cart before the horse. You need mm-hmm. some cash.
Which was the first thing Deion did at Jackson State.
Yeah.
I need a locker room and a workout facility that I can attract these players to, that we can keep them healthy. I can get them bigger and get them stronger. And then they got to go into the portal as well. The portal for HBCUs, think about it, with Deion's first couple years at Jackson State, the way he got Houston out of Florida State in the portal, he put three guys in the NFL, but they all came from Division I schools first. And James Houston's had a really good career up there in Detroit. He's one of Detroit's best pass rushers. Now, when they say alumni, they say, oh, out of Jackson State. But he really started at Florida State, which, of course, Deion had an easy way to go pick him off. So, you know, or was it Florida, one of those two schools. But same thing Michael Vick's going to have to do. He's going to have to call over Virginia Tech and be like, yeah, let me get a guy over there that maybe ain't doing this thing. You know, they're out there. They're out there, and they're guys that will come listen to him now. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's going to be big for both of them. I mean, you know, yeah, they're both new at this. They're both new at this. Talking about Vick and Jackson, they're both new at it. It's who you're going to get around you.
Yeah.
It's who can you get around you that's doing it. And there are a lot of people right now talking. I was listening to a podcast last night. Some people saying, what about these guys who've been in the pipeline, working their way up? Well, they've been in the pipeline. Well, get them on board. Mm-hmm. Get them on board, you know, with this, you know. And, you know, it may not be their turn to be the head coach this time. But get them on board and still be ready to climb the ladder. This is not the solution for everybody. Everybody's not going to go out and find a guy that played in the National Football League to come in and bring the kind of cachet. Like I said, both of these hires seem to be pretty strategic, and the people at the school seem to have thought through a connection. Jackson, with him playing professionally.
In Philly,
right? Mm-hmm. You know, to me, minutes away. That makes sense. With Vic being home, being a native of the area, that makes sense. So, I mean, while people say that, you know, so a lot of people felt like they had to go and grab somebody for namesake when Deion Sanders came out with Jackson State.
But let me ask you, I'm curious, as you guys go through this, and I agree with what you're saying is, so my thing is, I have questions that pop into my head.
Yeah.
Deion went through some hurdles while he was at Jackson State.
Right.
Seemed to not make the same, if you want to call them mistakes, or have the same issues once he got to Colorado. Plus, he started to gain.
There was a different infrastructure in place in Colorado.
Understood.
Yeah.
But also, he started to build his stable of coaches around here that were different at Colorado than he had at Jackson State, namely Warren Sapp. He had T.O. hanging around. You had a lot of people who were coming in bringing NFL knowledge to Travis and his son. And we saw the videos come out with Tom Brady playing catch with him. Again, not these other guys aren't going to be able to do what Deion did, but they can do a little bit of that. My question is this: would it be a good idea for a Michael Vick, I'll just start with him, to grab, let's say, a Bob Whitfield or somebody that he played with here that is no longer connected, who has no purpose connected with the NFL or football now, but yet has a wealth of knowledge?
You're going to get Eric upset now because Whitfield's on the coaching staff at Morehouse.
Okay. Well, again, I said like, but all right. He didn't say nothing. You had to say that.
He's over there. He's on the staff with Coach Terrence Mathis.
But you see what I'm saying?
Shout out Coach Terrence Mathis over at Morehouse.
We need a big year this year. Woo, the first year was tough. First year was tough.
But the thing is, can Clark Atlanta hold on to their guy? You know, you got some openings popping up, and, you know, Teddy Keaton does what Teddy Keaton does. I mean, he's done a tremendous job. That's the coach at Clark Atlanta. But you get some people around that, because that's the thing you want to. You want to know if the player comes there and they got a dream of playing at the next level, they're going to have good position coaches.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, you want to – and both of these guys can attract that. Their cachet can attract guys that can do that, coach guys up. But it's the other things too, guys, people who are good at recruiting and that type thing. They're going to have to put their staffs together, you know, very well around them. I think that's what happened with Eddie George at Tennessee State. I don't think he was a heck of a coach coming into this thing. Matter of fact, he was kind of reluctant, you know, but he came in. And
look what he's done in 3 years.
And look at what he's done, right? Yeah. So I mean, it didn't happen instantly. It didn't happen quickly.
Nope.
You know, a lot of people think you add water and stir. This is not AAU basketball. You know, this is a different animal, man.
What a lot of people don't know about DeSean Jackson is a very philanthropic guy. Mm-hmm. He's been doing a lot of things back in his community in L.A. and there in Philly, and he's got a lot of corporate connections, especially in the TV world. Greg, he's done a lot of things producing movies and things like that, and he's going to get a lot of those dollars from the corporate people that he's made connections with, and I think that he will bring – a influx of revenue into Delaware State, my sister's alma mater, over there in Dover, Delaware. Small, beautiful campus.
Well, I see their enrollment's up to like 6,000. I didn't realize their enrollment was that much.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Small, beautiful campus. We'll see what happens, though, because their football team definitely has not been doing very, very well.
No.
But now, you know, and if my first phone call is to John Taylor.
Okay.
You know, even if he doesn't be on the staff. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying.
He's got to be involved.
You're making my point. You're going for these guys who are not connected. Their names when they play, but they're no longer connected with the NFL, but I would imagine would like to be.
Yeah.
And these
I'm surprised
seem
John
to be,
Taylor wasn't already.
Well, John Taylor is probably around. He's one person. But, I mean, he's product of Delaware State, caught the winning touchdown passing that Super Bowl from Joe Montana.
Yeah. That would be the John Candy Super Bowl.
Right. So, I mean, you watch to see what happens with that. But that's what I think happens. First of all, you got to get the cash. You got to get your facilities right. You got to show these guys something when they come there, that there's a commitment to the game and to the game being successful. And you got to be different. Your tailgate and your band don't make you a better football team.
No, it doesn't. And this is going to be an interesting watch, and we are on the beginning of it. Like I said, may you live in interesting times.
Yeah.
And we are definitely there with that. Terrell Thomas going to join us next. Talk about these Hawks in a 50-point fourth quarter, please. That's up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg on this Friday morning, 27th day of December. Thank you for letting us be a part of it. If you don't hear Sam and I on the weekends, we have a handful of people who have been with us since we started working together, and they have their own walk-on music, and Terrell is one of them. Terrell Thomas, you know, from these urban times, and he's just, like I said, not just him, but his family are part of the fabric of our show. We've gotten to know Selah. Who was our first? They got next participant. Excuse me.
Yes.
It's not really a contest. And Mello. So anyway, as we welcome Terrell on post Christmas, how were the kids' Christmas? Was Santa good to them this year?
Good morning. Yes, they weren't on the naughty list this year, so Santa came through. And he was very good to them this year.
They weren't on the naughty list.
Outstanding.
Now, before we get into anything, I owe Terrell a public apology and thank him for his Marine-like adjusting and adapting to our schedules and things going on around here. So we had planned to do some stuff. Didn't work out, and he couldn't have been more cordial about understanding. So I wanted to thank him publicly. Thank you, man. And we will see you not just we'll have you on here today, but next week too, because we're going to be on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, walking into the new year.
Yes, we will.
Yeah, we will. We didn't even lose a bet.
I know, that's right.
Happy to be here.
We're going
to
be here.
I don't know about Eric, but we're happy to be here. anyway, man, listen, we always talk to you about basketball, but Sam just brought up something, and like, oh, yeah, man, I wonder if Terrell's got an opinion about this.
Yeah, well, you know, if you were tuning in, you know, last segment, Eric and I were talking about DeSean Jackson taking the job at Delaware State, and you being a Philadelphia person, you know, I was saying, you know, it's a nice strategic move for Dell State with him having played in Philadelphia. I'm sure he's connected with some folks, meaning some cash, some corporate and people up in Philadelphia that could really help out with what they really needed. Dell State is some funds. What were your thoughts when you first heard this?
Yeah, I mean, I think overall it's been a great week this period with the news of Michael Vick, of course, and then with DeSean Jackson going to Dell State. I love it, actually. I absolutely love it. I remember when I was coming up, it was a school. They did a lot of recruiting in the Philadelphia area. And DeSean, even though he's a California native, post his Eagles career, he does still do a lot in Philly. Him and LeSean McCoy do a lot together. So I can see him. I think a lot of guys are going to take the road similar to Deion when Deion took the job, of course, at Jack State and in Colorado of you know, opening that Rolodex and calling on a few of their homies and former teammates to come and be assistants or be coaches or just be around the young players and help groom them. So I was very, very happy to hear that. DeSean has been one of my favorite Eagle players of all time. And I think he'll do wonderful things there. I think that, of course, not only expand his resume as he grows as a head coach and – you know, he learned from one of the best as well. So I love it. I love the move, and I'm looking forward to see just how he builds his coaching tree and who he recruits there at Dell State.
Yeah, I was telling Greg the name in common with he and Michael Vick would be Andy Reid.
And
what a resource they will have to just be able to pick up the phone and call him from time to time.
Yeah, that's having Big Red right there like that, we still see all the success he has in the NFL. And again, learning from him and being coached by him, I think both gentlemen are going to do a great job at the head coaching level. And I'm glad that they decided to go back and give back to the young folk.
And the waitfor.com hotline is 1-80 Terrell Thomas, and he is social. You can always find him at Eldorado 2452 at Eldorado 2452.
Oh, okay. I was stretching. I thought you were going to say something. I'm also going to just edit myself here because as he was praising everything about Philadelphia and talking about these football players, I wanted to make a Joel Embiid comment, but I'm going to hold myself back because they got to work on him and them 76ers. So I will leave Joel Embiid alone for purposes.
But ask him how he feels about the noise out of Miami and who.
But Pat Riley put the kibosh on that. But I really am just getting his thoughts on, because we talked about this over the last few years. When we talk about this Hawks team with Terrell, and the word chemistry has come up, we talk about playing unselfishly. We talked about a number of things that were not going on with this team, but yet we are seeing it right now. We're seeing poise in a way that we haven't seen before, whether it was from that in-season tournament that these guys performed so well at, or just the growth of the superstar on this team. When you look at this Hawks team right now, and especially for what happened last night, down the way they were against the Bulls, to put up 50 points in that fourth quarter, but more importantly, hold the Bulls to half of that. This team is starting to look differently than the Hawks team that we have seen over the last few years in a way that you feel like, they can just little by little come together and become even tighter and tighter. And this is a playoff team. That's me. Do you agree with that, or do you see even higher hopes for this team?
I certainly agree that this is a playoff team. And it feels like the guys are all they're maturing together. Like, we, you know, over the years, DeAndre Hunter's been criticized. We've seen Trae Young's been criticized. But it seems like now those guys, with Trae at the helm of this, so I'll give him his credit, it seems like they're all hitting their peak or their stride at the right time. And it also seems like the philosophies in which Coach Quinn came into State Farm Arena with are now starting to pay off. So I do think that this is a playoff team, yes. Of course, we would love to see a championship. I don't know if they're there yet. But if they keep playing defense the way they are, you know, anything can happen in the NBA. So I've been impressed with Trae over this 2-3 months, you know. Yeah, as we said, Christmas is when the NBA season starts. But for the Hawks this year to get off to a great start, to get off to a different jump, I think it's been phenomenal. And I do certainly think this is a playoff team. I think the team is maturing right at the right time.
And I should let me just add something to that, because as they sit here in the seventh spot, it's an absurd statement to say that they're not a playoff team. But what we've seen in the past is they don't stay in that position. They seem to descend in the Eastern Conference, and then you kind of hope that they make the playoffs. This is what we've seen in the past. What I was getting at when I said a playoff team, what I meant to say was a deep run into the playoffs. And I feel that is absolutely a possibility. Not to just wish for a championship. Every city wants that. But now you look at this team, and yeah, you can feel how you do about Boston, and you can feel how you do about Cleveland. Knicks, too. But you got to just continue to add this Hawks team in that conversation in a way that we haven't seen in the last few years. And that's what I was getting at.
Yeah, I completely agree. Offensively and defensively, they have the makings of making a deep playoff run. So I think it's just all about them continuing to gel, continuing to learn, and building even more chemistry. But once the playoffs begin, they match up phenomenal with anyone, especially the teams you just listed. They match up with them very well. So I think they can make a deep run for sure.
Jalen Johnson, a career high last night, and a double-double for him. Thoughts about him? He hasn't missed a beat. And another great night off the bench, you know, from Hunter. That seems to be a part of the ingredients that makes his team successful.
Yeah, I love Jalen Johnson. That young man, he's been patient. He's been learning. You know, he had an injury last year to kind of derail some things for him, but he just came out of the gate so far this season. That I love. He's one of those how you have like what the tool in the toolbox that can just do everything, because he can pass the ball, he can rebound the ball, he can score, he can play great defense. So I think the sky is the limit for him. I think the young man should be an all-star this year, whether he's a reserve or however that goes. But I love what I'm seeing from Jalen Johnson, and I love the chemistry that him and Trae Young had. Great performance from him last night.
That is Terrell Thomas joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. People are screaming at us right now. Oh, man, why ain't y'all putting enough love on Cleveland? And they got a point. All the conversation seems to swirl around all of the teams, some out west, but why aren't we talking more about Cleveland?
Because they're Cleveland.
And they got the best four losses. That's worthy of talking about, but yet they ain't. So you're feeling like just because they have the history they do. This is what people say about Atlanta. They just Atlanta. You know they're going to fold.
I don't mean they're going to fold. But
that's what you're alluding to.
No, I'm not either.
If you're saying they're just Cleveland, you're making it feel like they ain't going to be there.
Because they're Cleveland. They can be there. That's fine. They, when they're there, they're still in Cleveland.
All right. Go Terrell, go ahead.
Too many of my relatives up there.
They look well so far, but I think I don't want to say people are discrediting them. I just think when you look at some of the other teams in the Eastern Conference, the Celtics, the Knicks, teams you mentioned a moment ago, shoot, the 76ers, they've won 9 out of their last 12 games and whatnot. There are teams that I think that are star heavy that folks look at ahead of Cleveland. And I don't think people don't give Donovan Mitchell the credit and respect that he deserves as a young superstar in the league. I can say that the team is well constructed. I like Mobley over there, you know, but I don't think him and Mobley together can bring a championship to Cleveland. I think they're still a star or two away from maybe that conversation, but we can't discredit how well they do look so far in a regular season. So I'll give them some love and respect there.
And Sean, before we get to talk about this too, Darrell, before we let you go, you know, we're up against him in a second. The start of the basketball season, we say, for the NBA is Christmas. And we saw some great competition Christmas. People still say when the NBA invading there with two games, they had another game last night, even though the Hawks were playing a great game. If people who miss the NBA miss some great competition, you know, in favor of watching some NFL games that kind of weren't. Well, what's your feeling on it? You know, a lot of people think the NFL needs to change something, needs to adjust something, and they've gone out and put great competition out there. The stars you want to see play, the standout players have been there, and I think what do you change? I think you go out and keep playing your game and putting your quality product out there.
Yeah, I agree with you there 100%. I was pleased that all of the games we got to see some great competition, as you just mentioned. And if you're like a casual fan who doesn't catch the NBA, you saw Wembley out there. It was tough to see Luka get injured and leave early, but you got to see the likes of Anthony Edwards, as you mentioned, of course, LeBron and Steph Curry. I was pleased, and I've seen that the ratings are actually up this Christmas. They were up 84% from the last 4 years. So folks actually did decide to tune in despite the NFL, you know, trying to step on the NBA's territory. So I think they just continue what they're doing. I love the five-game slate. Let the superstars be great and put out a great show.
All right, buddy. Listen, enjoy your weekend with the kids. You're going to join us next week. We're going to be doing Sunday through Wednesday, bringing in the new year. And, again, thank you for adjusting your schedule, Terrell. Just as always, for everything that you add to the show, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Oh, much love. Much love, gentlemen. See you guys soon. Have a great Friday.
There you go. And in case you can't get in front of a TV, we have got that Miami Hawks game for you. In fact, Saturday's going to be big day around here as far as NFL action. We got Chargers New England first. That's going to be on WAOK. That kick is at 1 o'clock. Hawks Miami, pregame 2:30, tip at 3. Denver at Cincinnati on AOK after game one. And then Saturday night, Arizona at the Rams after game two. If you can't get in front of a TV, we have all those games for you. It is Sam and Greg on this Friday morning, going to let you know about some money flying through the air and some job opportunities for you. That is up next. And take us with you on the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And take us with you in the Odyssey app. Sam and Greg on this Friday morning. Sam, I got to remind everybody, I want to apologize a little bit to the fine folks over at John Foy. The last segment was brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law. You want to go to johnfoy.com and get the strong arm. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well,
all right.
Go out there and get that day, and then we'll tell you who this hour is brought to you by. Well, first there, but we came back with the Star Wars theme.
Yeah.
We lost Carrie Fisher on it. We lost Princess Leia on this day. So, you know, we do this kind of thing. Then we give you a little acknowledgement there. But, yeah, Meadowlark Lemon, we paid a little tribute to earlier. Any excuse to hear Sweet Georgia Brown. But I know that you are a big Harrison Ford fan, but that's more Indiana Jones.
Well, but you can't go wrong with the person, the conducting, the orchestra, John Williams.
Oh, yeah, John Williams. Not bad.
John Williams' score, you can't go wrong.
No, you're absolutely right. And this obviously being the segment we talk about showbiz stuff, which I will get to. I forgot to, yesterday when we were doing this, drive people to our website. Y'all let me go through all of this stuff and talk about the job opportunities and then did not mention that they are at 92.9thegame.com/castingcall.
Okay.
And also on Get Cast with Greg on X, which, by the way, we just reposted that. But let me just tell you what's going on for those of you who don't listen to us on the weekends or know what's going on with the casting call. It's slow right now. It's the holidays. And so jobs in front of the camera. I know Rose Locke Casting is preparing for another project, and I've got the list of the casting directors, the extras casting directors, on the breakdown. So whether this is June or it's August or it's February, you go to those casting directors' social media pages and see what they're posting. They it's daily, and in some instances it's hourly because there's a lot of opportunities. And the slowness that was 2024 is behind us. It's going to pick up here soon. And 2025 is going to be a big year for projects throughout the state of Georgia. We're here doing a show here, Sam, that a lot of the little things that I mention on our shows, you know, they don't hear on a regular basis. Folks, we got 159 counties in the state of Georgia. All of them are camera ready. So when things get ramping up here in January, no telling where these job opportunities are going to land. And I also say this because you and I have been doing this for a number of years, Sam. And even before you and I worked together, we know that, unfortunately, at the end of a year, there's people making business decisions. Companies got to cut back. We're doing this. We a friend of ours that at least I've known for a number of years. I don't know how long you've learned. And I don't know that he's a product of this, but he's going to be gone from 11-11. That's Crash Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Crash is a buddy of mine. And his brother, who was known as Major Tom on the radio here, Tom Clark, who's in the acting community, you know.
Well, our new neighbors across the street. Our new neighbors.
Atlanta Journal-Constitution, right?
They had a Christmas slash
no pun intended.
Farewell for about 30 folk.
Really?
Here recently, yeah.
Okay. See, so this is, and the analogy I brought up yesterday is that the good news for us is we're a lot like people who live in Orlando, Florida. If you unfortunately get let go from your job, chances are you know somebody who can get you a job with Disney. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, you got to figure the odds of that are pretty good. Well, you have the film industry laced throughout the state, from Savannah to Tifton. Well, you don't doesn't work down there.
If they got a production going on down there, they do. They
you
just,
know, well, you know,
just got to watch the speed limit when you drive through there. That's all.
All the way up to the North Georgia Mountains. So be sure to check out the Casting Call. And so in front of the camera stuff is slow right now. And you will see Happy Holidays. I like to get past that. I got a links to the Georgia Department of Labor for those of you with minors in the family that want to get in front of the camera. Voiceover contacts, Heidi and Mike over at Voiceover Studio, Atlanta Voiceover Studio, and then Bill Seller, who does it individually. They will get you anything you need as far as getting started with voiceover work, or if you want to take a workshop. I was saying this before before Christmas, makes a great and a unique present to give somebody a workshop, an acting workshop, or a voiceover workshop. They have those there. So starting with the jobs behind the camera, if you have a skill set that lends itself to being on a crew, hairdresser, cook, makeup artist, electrician, carpenter, whatever it is, I walk you through how to find those jobs starting with Georgia.org. So that's the casting call. There are opportunities that are there. If the unfortunate happens to you before the end of the year, know that you can go to this list and you know, maybe make that pivot. How many times have we been out the course of the year and somebody comes up to us,
right,
not just me, and says, hey, man, I heard you with that casting call, and you know, I ended up leaving my job, and I'm doing this now. And
yeah,
and quite happy.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Greg.Clarkson, Odyssey.com if you got any questions.
And we know we run into those people in the oddest of places, but it,
yes,
it,
we
it,
do.
It never fails.
Yeah.
It never fails. We run into somebody who has heard about Casting Call. They've gotten involved with it, and yeah.
Yeah.
It's something you weren't expecting to get when you get to certain places.
98%, maybe even more, don't have any use for this. But there are those who will. And I'm happy to focus on those. I'm the convenience store that's open that you never think about going to till everything goes out in your house, and then you got to go get something for the kids, or you guys just got to get something to eat. So I'm not gonna stop doing this anyway. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Couple pieces of business I need to get to, and I'm gonna tell this story here. But Chief Brandon, who we talk about up there in Paulding County.
Yeah.
You know how he spent his Christmas Day?
What do you do?
He helped deliver his 7th grandbaby.
What?
Barbara, I believe it was his daughter, she gave birth. It was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Christmas Day, and he was there to help her with that.
Well, that's a different kind of holiday gift. Congratulations, yeah, though.
But again,
Merry Christmas.
Fireman. Right, you know,
right, dudes, right.
That's what you want in a family. You want a fireman. So congratulations to Chief Brandon. Also, I had mentioned yesterday we were talking about Tiger, and because we were talking about Charlie and him playing together, and I made a comment about, you know, because Charlie got his first hole in one, and I believed Tiger had 22. Nah, I was wrong. He only had 20.
Well, you know.
But the story is, it took him two decades between his 19th and 20th.
Oh, man.
That's the crazy part about it. He got 20 holes in one, but it took him two decades between 19 and 20.
Man.
Yeah, he told a great story about that, which I'll get to another time here. So listen, I got to tell you something, man. During the holidays, you never know when stuff's going to happen. And something happened at my house. I went down to move some things around, and I went into, for lack of a better way to put it, kind of like the utility room where you got your water heater and you got all this stuff in there, and we got some storage stuff in there. So I went in that room, and all of a sudden I was reminded of season 3, episode 1 of The Sopranos. Now, you weren't a big Sopranos fan.
Yeah.
But people who watch The Sopranos will know about Mr. Ruggiero's Neighborhood. And there are some people who hate that episode. There are some who absolutely love it. But it basically is, the episode is about the feds trying to put a bug in Tony Soprano's house and having to watch everybody in the family and coordinate where the kids were, where his wife was, and all of that stuff. And they do this really sort of mix up with Sting's Every Breath You Take and the Peter Gunn theme.
Ah.
Doom, 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 doom.
Yeah.
So that's laced throughout the show. The end of this episode, or toward the end of this episode, while they're trying to figure out where to put this thing in the house, something happens. And what it is his water heater blows up and water fills his basement. So they can't plant the bug in that particular day.
Oh, man.
And they showed footage of his water heater, and the feds were laughing about it. Oh, that thing's going to blow soon. And they were you know, not knowing that it was about to happen the way it did. And Mr. Ruggiero is the neighborhood plumber who everybody in this New Jersey neighborhood knew of. So it was Mr. Ruggiero's neighborhood. If you had water issues, if you had plumbing problems, called Mr. Ruggiero. Well, I almost had to have Mr. Ruggiero come out to my house.
Whoa.
Almost. I got him coming out today. And I got my man Frank coming up. I got to go get a new water heater.
Ooh.
Because I saw rust in this thing, and I saw a little thing, water on the ground, and I'm not waiting.
Yeah, you know what's
this is the first time
I saw
this.
On the way. You know what's on
the way. So I'm like, all that nice Christmas money is going toward a water heater. But that's, listen, everybody's got a home out there. They know what they're talking about. Water heaters and things that happen within your house don't have calendars. They don't care what holidays are around the corner.
When they're ready to go, they go.
So, anyway, by the way, check out Sopranos. Mr. Ruggiero's Neighborhood. It's a pretty good one, too. All right, coming up 8 o'clock hour, we are going to talk Birmingham Bowl, Georgia Tech against Vanderbilt. Coming up at 3:30 this afternoon, our own Chad Bishop is going to join us. Going to talk a little bit more about the NFL and his Falcons as they get ready for Sunday night against Washington. It is Sam and Greg. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Friday mornings. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com.